You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 47. Got a pretty exciting episode for you this week. Got a new segment to talk about, so I'll get into that later on in the episode. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Otherwise, a pretty standard episode. Nothing too major, new going on, a new device, a feature review, and then a few bits of other news, and that's about it. So with that, I'll jump right into it. So the theme for this week's episode is external economies of scale. So this is the increasing or decreasing of a company's cost due to external factors. So essentially, because of changes in the market or inputs, so things like labor, material, and whatever else goes into running a business change, that affects a company in direct and sometimes indirect ways as well. So there's a positive externality, which is resulting from an external reduction of costs. So if the rent decreases because of lowering property values, or there's a lower utility bill because fewer employees are using the building, or for whatever reason the company is lower, has fewer costs than they did before, that's a positive externality, because assuming that prices and revenue stays the same, the company will be making more money. On the flip side, there's also negative externalities, which are an external increase in costs. So let's say, for example, rent goes up, or because the company is expanding, then now they have more employees, so utilities go up. Or let's say the cost to produce a product has gone up, so let's say there's plastic and the price of plastic goes up, or the price of wood, or whatever factors go into making the product go up, then the cost will increase, and that results in a negative externality, because assuming again that the prices and revenues stay fixed, the company will be making less money. So they naturally have to react to either keep those externalities the same or increase them. So the company may do a break-even point analysis and say, okay, well, now that these other costs have gone up, they need to increase the price of their products by so much money to make sure that they're at least breaking even, and if not that, at least making sure that they're making a profit. So with that in mind, I'll jump right into this week's tech news. So to start it off, rich cards are coming to mobile Google searches for a more visual search experience. So if you're using, let's say, the Chrome browser on your mobile device, and there are pictures that are related to your search results, then you'll see better cards to get access to that data. Polaroid has announced their Google Cast-based TVs. They're going to start at $499, have a 120Hz refresh rate, and support HDMI 2.0. Currently, they're expected to come, or the TVs with Google Cast built in will run, or the size will be at 43, 50, 55, or 65 inches. TripAdvisor for Android got an update this week to now integrate Google Play Music to help you find more localized music based on where you're traveling around the world. So if you use the TripAdvisor app, then it'll help you discover music that is more region-based, so you can experience that the sounds of that country more easily. ZTE announced a new device this week called the Axon 7. It's a GSM-based device. It will be available unlocked. So, for example, if you're in the United States, it'll work on AT&T and T-Mobile and related GSM bands. It will come in silver or gold, have a 2.2 GHz Snapdragon 820 processor. From what I could tell, it looks like it's a quad-core processor, but I'm not 100% sure on that. It'll have a 5.5-inch screen at a 2K Quad HD resolution, a 3140 mAh battery, quick charge support. But where it starts to really shine is that it's going to have a 20-megapixel rear camera, 8-megapixel front camera. It'll have two models, a 64GB model with 4GB of RAM, or a 128GB model with 6GB of RAM. And both will come with Android 6.0.1 to start. So a very, very high-end device with the most amount of RAM that we've seen in a smartphone. So if you want an ultra high-end device, then this may definitely be the way to go. From what I can tell, the UI is pretty stock, so you shouldn't have to worry too much going or have too much of a learning curve if you use a stock Android device before. The price range, I think it said, the 64 gigabyte model starts at under $500, so I'll assume $499. But it's actually a really powerful device for the price that you're paying for, so definitely worth checking out. And it will come unlocked, so if you want to, so that is an additional benefit if you decide to go with this device. And finally, the Google app for iOS got updated this week to support AMP. That's Accelerated Mobile Pages. So when you're searching for sites in the Google app for iOS and it's an AMP site, you'll notice that it will load a lot faster. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's feature review. So previously, I've reviewed Action Launcher version 3 and its various features, things like covers and shutters and its general UI that I like quite a bit. But this week, two updates were released, but one is of note. So if you're on the beta channel, so version 3.8.0 beta 1 or higher, you'll get a new feature to easily use a Google weather cards that were added to Google's search app recently for Android. So basically what this update does in Action Launcher is it allows you to create a shortcut which automatically will load that the weather card in Google Now or the Google search app. So it can be done in one of two ways. So the first way is if you have the quick bar enabled on your home screen, you can create a shortcut to weather. So you'll go into settings, quick bar, and add a new item. You'll hit custom and then go into the action shortcuts and scroll down to weather, and you'll see a sun icon. You can change it to something else if you want. So now when you go to the home screen and you want to check the weather or the most current weather, then you could just touch the sun icon and it'll load up. The other way to do it is you'll still go to the same menu settings, but let's say you want a swipe gesture to open up the settings, then you can, when you go into settings and shortcuts and you select the direction you want to swipe, so if you're doing swipe up or swipe down, left or right, one finger or two fingers or single tap or double tap, things like that, and you go to again to the action shortcuts into weather, now whenever you perform that swipe gesture, you can load weather that way. So let's say for example, in the video, I have it set to swiping up. So every time I swipe up, I can load the weather. Or if you want it swiping from right to left or left to right, however you want to swipe, you can load the weather that way. So it's actually a pretty nifty way to get the Google Now cards. And the benefit I find here is that you do not actually need a separate weather app or widget to get the weather stats. So if you do use Google Now, then you get weather or periodic weather updates in your notification drawer, and the notification card or the weather cards in Google Now are well enough and detailed enough that an additional widget or app is not needed. And the weather card itself does things like provide your current temperature, the high and low for that day, wind speed, the atmosphere condition, the next day's forecast, 10-day forecast, and all of that. So I don't need another app or another widget. So you can use another widget. So for example, I have the Google News and Weather widget set, so I can have it at a glance. But if I want additional information, then this swipe gesture actually works even better to get access to that additional information at ease. So I'll have a link in the show notes to the video preview to get it set up for yourself, and then I also have links in the video show notes for Action Launcher version 3 in Google Play, as well as the beta channel for the launcher as well. So if you like what you see, then you can sign up and get this feature right away. So that's the weather shortcuts in Action Launcher, and it can be accessed via the quick bar or via swipe gestures. So that's all there is for that. So after the short break, I'll jump into this week's entertainment segment. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you in a couple of great and exciting ways. So if you want to help expand the show and the network, we do have a couple of Patreons set up to help you support the show and the network in whatever way you can. So let's say you love Life of an Accounting Droid and you want to see more posts on the feed, you want to have an Android app to quickly and easily get to the post and via different categories and things like that. Let's say you want to have a Q&A segment, then be sure to visit patreon.com/patelin01 to check out the various patron levels and what kind of things you can unlock by helping to support the show. You can also help support the network by visiting patreon.com/geekio. This helps our flagship show go ad-free. So let's say you just want to blaze through the show, listen to all of it uninterrupted. You can do things like that. Let's say you wanted a weekly D&D episode. Helping to contribute to the Geek.io Patreon can help do that as well, as well as adding special patron content, adding a new show, getting more con coverage, all of the great geeky, nerdy stuff that we all love. So that's patreon.com/geekio for all of that good stuff, as well as patreon.com/patelin01 to help the show expand as well. But that is all for that, so back to the show. And with that, welcome back to the episode, everybody. It's going to be a quick entertainment segment, only one real news item, a couple of things for what I watch. I'll do a quick run-through of the Game of Thrones episode. Little bit of spoilers there, so I'll let you know when I jump into that, and then I'll round that out with a TV show review. So, to start it off, the only real bit of news that interested me this week was that Hell on Wheels will be returning to AMC on June 11th, so it's the final parts of the, I think it's the second half of the last season, or its own last season, but it is the final episode, so look out for that. As far as what I watched, I had a chance to catch up on Fear the Walking Dead Season 2 Episode 7, Shiva. So this is the mid-season finale. So pretty good. We see the group breaking up quite a bit. So definitely worth a watch there. I had a chance to watch the season finale for Gotham Season. So Season 2 Episode 22, Transference. So we see the breakout at Arkham Asylum and that Bruce learns about the secret council running Gotham. So we kind of get the build up to season 3 there. And I had a chance to watch Never Say Never Again, so the last Sean Connery movie with him playing James Bond. So pretty good. Didn't really like it as much as the other ones. I know that didn't really start off well with me because it didn't have the usual bullseye opening that the James Bond films have. So generally, was it Bond film? Nothing too different or special about it. I think it was a remake of Thunderball, if I remember right. So it in itself was a remake. So a decent enough movie, but seeing it as the last Sean Connery as James Bond film, I decided to give it a watch. And then finally, I had a chance to watch Game of Thrones Season 6, Episode 5, The Door. So here's where the spoilers will come. So jump ahead to the TV show review in case you have not seen the episode yet and do not want to be spoiled. But overall, a very, very good episode. We learn that Daenerys learns about the skull sickness thing that Jorah has, and that rather than leaving and accepting death, that she wants him to find a cure and come back. She needs him by her side, and he tells her how much he loves her. So we have the continuation of that. So we'll see if we have more of Jorah's adventures there. We also have more of the Bran and Hodor storyline, which was of biggest news this week. So we learn how Hodor got his name and why he is the way he is, and it is actually because Bran was going back in time at the time, and in the present time, Bran and I forget the girl's name offhand, but they are trying to escape, and she tells Bran to warg into Hodor and to hold the door. So Hodor is actually a shortening of hold the door, and this actually carries backwards through time via Bran's warging power because he's that powerful from what it would seem. And because he's working into Bran in the present tense, it somehow transfers back in time to Hodor, a.k.a. Willis, back when he was younger. And he starts having spasms and starts saying, or wording mouth, or starts saying, hold the door, and through the seizures and whatever's happening inside him, gets shortened down to Hodor, and he becomes Hodor himself. So we don't know, and we actually kind of, or to me it seemed like Hodor or Willis was able to see Bran, or he saw something weird happening, so we're not sure if there's a memory of Willis seeing Bran, but we learned that Bran was a cause of how Hodor is now, so it's kind of Bran learning the hard way of the repercussions to his actions, so he needs to be careful what and how he works through time, and he needs to be careful with what he's doing, and this is all, of course, because of the result of Bran warging and being touched by the Night King. So definitely a very good episode to see. The season 6 keeps getting better and better, so definitely worth a watch. So I can't wait to see the repercussions and where Bran goes from here. And actually, that was the other good part of the episode, is we actually also learn about how the White Walkers were created, and it was because of the Children of the Forest needing a way to protect themselves. So if memory serves, the Night King was the first ranger, or the first Night's Watch ranger, but I forget offhand. So there is that, but we learned that the Children of the Forest created the White Walkers to protect themselves, and something went wrong. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's TV show review. And this one actually kind of crept up on me. I think I may have heard the news about it before and never really thought about it. But we had the season premiere on Sunday. I want to say May... Let's see, today's the 26th. So I think it was May 20th or 21st. May 22nd for Preacher. So this is another TV show based on a comic. So we had season 1, episode 1, or is this labeled pilot, so we get to see another comic book turn into a TV show. I have not read, or in this case, kind of like The Walking Dead, I have not read the comics, so I'm not sure exactly what the how the story goes or how the characters interact with each other. I did a quick review of kind of what's going on in this particular universe, who the Preacher is, who some of the main characters are, and left it at about that. That's kind of where I started, if memory serves, with The Walking Dead. I might have watched that with even less information. I kind of just jumped into it and heard that it was a really good comic, so I decided to give it a watch. So the season 1 premiere for Preacher aired in the United States on May 22nd, 2016. It has an approximate runtime of 64 minutes. I got that from the Amazon Video version. So if you guys are unable to watch it live or do not have cable, it will be available on Amazon Video the day after it airs. Not part of Amazon Prime, so it will cost you, I think, $1.99 for standard the definition or $2.99 for HD. Don't quote me on those prices, but I'm assuming it's going to be around there. A summary of the pilot and the series is that a preacher heads out on a journey to combat the supernatural evil that just decimated his Texas hometown. So we get the build-up to how the preacher gets his faith back, so to speak, and where, and kind of how he gains his powers and how he comes to understand how that happens. So overall, the episode was done very well. I thought it is kind of slower than usual, so don't expect anything too fast-paced, except for maybe the initial death scene. So it was kind of along the lines of maybe how The Walking Dead was as well, where it started off kind of slow and it builds up from there. So the first thing that came to mind was when we had the first flashback scene with Jesse, who's a preacher, and this was him as a kid with his father. It seemed a lot along the lines of Bruce Wayne and his father, where Bruce Wayne's father was teaching him lessons like, why do we fall, to pick ourselves back up, not to be afraid, and that sort of thing. So a similar theme here, but rather than having money and power to become a superhero, we have the preacher gaining supernatural powers from God himself. Next up, though, why are there not more plain fight scenes? So we have the vampire guy who's fighting the guys in the plane, and actually I thought it was done very well. It wasn't overly done. It's kind of hard to see, or it's not really portrayed well, I thought, as him being a vampire. So it's not, if you didn't know that beforehand, you're kind of thinking, oh, okay, well, he has good reflexes, so maybe he's also an agent of God or something along those lines. So that part wasn't really clear, but because if you know that he's a vampire, then it kind of makes sense. But overall, it was a very good fight scene. It was done very well, and then he jumps out of the plane with a vial of blood. So that's probably the only indication that he's a vampire, but it could have also been that maybe he is a blood drinker by choice. Next up, someone was watching 2009 Star Trek IV Tulip's car fight scene. So we actually have the introduction of Tulip. She's played by the same actress who played one of the characters in Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as one of the Inhumans. And I thought she did actually a very good job. She had the fight scene through the cornfield, which reminded me a lot of Captain Kirk when he was a kid in Star Trek. But also her kind of just being nonchalant about when she approaches the kids and her interactions with them. So it was just a generally fun and light scene, even though she had just gone through her own fight scene. And finally, how does Arsface get shown with no backstory aside from his smoothie? So here, this was actually kind of a quick jump for me. It's only because I had done a Google search for Arsface to see if, in fact, the image is similar to what I imagined the name to be, and it actually is. But there wasn't really any backstory that I picked up on as far as how he became who he is or what's going on there. So maybe this is something that'll come up in future episodes. But we did learn a little bit in that he can only eat by drinking smoothies, so that's how he gets his nutrients. So there is that there, but I kind of wanted a little bit more backstory. And that doesn't go just for him, but more for all the other characters. So the vampire, Tulip, and Arsface. We had enough of the Preacher. He is a title character, so it makes sense, but I actually kind of also wanted a little bit more along the lines of the other characters as well, as far as who they are and why they're doing what they're doing. So we kind of know what their moves are, but that is about it. So that's all there is for that. So overall, I do recommend watching it. I will say it is slower than usual, so kind of expect that. But other than that, it is well produced. So like I mentioned earlier, the pacing reminded me a little bit like The Walking Dead Season 1, Episode 1. So the pacing is along the same line, so it is easy to get through it. So that is all for that. So for this week's Star Wars profile, I wanted to talk a little bit about Dexter Jetster. So he's originally a basilisk from the planet Ojum. He stands 6.17 feet tall, so taller than most individuals in the Star Wars universe. We see him only in Star Wars Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. He was originally a prospector in the Outer Rim territories, and that will relate directly into his job and how we see him in the movies, in that he currently runs his own restaurant called Dex's Diner. He started it as a means of starting a restaurant to serve the workers in the area and be known for home-style cooking, as well as serving what's known as Ardies or Jawa juice. So that was what his restaurant was familiar for. But we also see him in the show as being a good friend to Obi-Wan Kenobi, so they met many years back and they remain good friends. Obi-Wan usually went to him to call upon knowledge that Kenobi himself might not have, or he was unable to pursue in the Jedi Archives, as we saw. So that's how Obi-Wan Kenobi was able to learn about the Kaminoan saber darts and eventually learn about the clones, which became the starting point, or was preempted the start of the Clone Wars. So Dexter Jetster, while he ended his prospecting days in the Outer Rim territories, he did retain a lot of his knowledge and used it for, I don't want to say necessarily for good, implying that he did bad, but he did retain a lot of his knowledge and experience and used it to help his friend in times of need and ensure and basically poke fun at him that Kenobi should know better than to rely solely on machines to help him out. So that is all for that. So after the short break, I will jump into a brand new segment for the show. So let's say you love Life of an Accounting Droid and you want to help support the show, but you're not up for a recurring payment, or maybe it's not in your budget for the month for a recurring payment. You can still help the show and the network grow and help contribute to the shows that you love to hear and all of that good stuff. First off, you can visit or check out some of the great deals we have going on by visiting geek-io.net/support. You can check out some of our sponsors like T-Fury, Tweaked Audio, ProXPN. If you shop on Amazon, we have an affiliates link, so definitely check those all out. If you see something you like and you want to help us out, you can click on those links and you'll get some very great deals and promotions and help us out at the same time. Let's say you want to contribute to Life of an Accounting Droid directly, but you don't really feel up for signing up for Patreon, or as I mentioned, you can't really do a recurring payment. You can also contribute via PayPal by visiting paypal.me/patelN01. When you make the contribution, let's say you wanted to go to a particular segment, like you want me to review a specific app or watch a particular TV episode or movie or anything like that, by contributing this way, your money can go straight to that particular feature, that particular part of the show. Or if you just love the show or the episode, then you can help contribute that way as well with whatever you feel comfortable with giving. Let's say you also prefer to read, or you know someone who would enjoy the content of the show but prefers to read instead, or they're always on the go and want to have that same thing on their Kindle, for example, or wherever you get the Kindle app, be sure to check out Journal of an Accounting Droid, which is basically all the same content you get on the show, but in the Kindle bookstore via an ebook format. You can check out all the latest releases by visiting author.patelN01.com. There's also a link to my Amazon author profile, so if you want to get notified as soon as a new journal is published, then there's also an email subscription link available, so you can easily get buy it yourself or share it with anyone you might think is interested or anything like that. So be sure to check out all the great links at geek-io.net/support for all of our great sponsors, paypal.me/patelN01 for one-time contributions, and author.patelN01 for the Journal of an Accounting Droid ebooks. But that is all for that, so back to the show. So for this week's episode, I'm starting a new segment. You may have... I had a couple of weeks where I was trying out a segment called Life Tip. And there wasn't really much I could do with it or go with that that wasn't already being covered otherwise on the show. But basically last week, I started a new blog. It's something that I've had in mind for a little while now, called You Can Relax. It's a blog that I started because I wanted to have that a kind of means of sharing my experiences where there was something that may have annoyed me or something, so a problem that I had that I wanted to resolve and turn into a positive thing or turn into something that was beneficial. So it's kind of the Life Tip version 2.0. So I thought, you know what, I'll keep the blog going. So if you want to subscribe, you can. I'll talk again to that in a little bit. But I will also include it as a segment on the show to close it out. Just something that's going on that I did and that kind of benefits me, and maybe it'll help benefit you. And if you want to also submit to the blog and have a guest post or have something or have my input on how I would turn a situation around, just something light in everyday situations, then you can always email me or send it to me via Twitter, and I'll be happy to share that or how you turned your own day-to-day annoyance into a positive situation. So for this particular initial You Can Relax segment, I wanted to talk about why my ears aren't plugged is a good thing. So recently I took up swimming again. It's something that I had been doing up to about a couple of years ago, and then on and off have been doing for about the past probably 6 or 7 months. And the thing that always bothered me is that I would get something called swimmer's ear. So essentially it would be along the lines of my ears popping, but where my ears would feel plugged when they weren't really. And it would basically cause that echoing sound when I was talking and listening to people talk to me. So I finally decided to start doing some research and buy some earplugs that would help avoid swimmer's ear. And a couple of weeks ago, I found a pair on Amazon that seemed really good. They're kind of like headphones, but without the cables or cords or batteries or any technology for that matter at all. So they sit in your ear, and then there's a little loop that sits around the rim of your ear so it holds in place. I thought I'd go check it out in stores, so I went to Walmart, Sports Authority, the usual places nearby to see what they had, but they didn't really have anything I liked. It was just your standard basic $5 earplugs, and I thought, well, those might be nice, but I want something that will stay in place and not fall out and last for a bit. So I decided to go with the ones I found on Amazon. They're made by Fishion. They're waterproof silicone swimming earplugs. So they sit in your ear, they hook around your ear, they stay in place. It comes with a couple of extra silicone add-ons. So if the ones that are on there already are too small, then you can substitute for them for bigger ones. And then there's also replacement hooks in case the ones that are on there already break or come loose or whatever reason you need to replace them. So there is that as well. I got it for, I think it was $12.99 or $13.99, so it didn't set me back too much. And since it came with replacement earbuds, it works out nicely. So I had a chance to test them out last week on May 21st for the first time, and they actually worked very well. They stayed in my ear. There was no real issue. The only problem I had maybe is that the silicone gel that was on there were maybe kind of small, so I'm going to try them a couple more times, see if that's the case, and maybe substitute in the bigger ones. If they fit, maybe because it was the first time, they need time to fit into my ear, so we'll see how that goes in the coming weeks. But they actually worked very well, so when I finished swimming, I did that hour of swimming. Normally my ears would be plugged for around 24 to 48 hours, my ear canals are readjusted to not having themselves filled with water. But in this case, I had none of that. My hearing wasn't impaired. There was no plug. My ears weren't plugged at all. There was no issues. So it worked out nicely. And I actually am happy to recommend them quite well. So that's kind of how I was able to turn something that annoyed me. I don't like swimmer's ear, and basically if I go swimming on Saturday and my ears aren't unplugged by Monday, I have to go into work and make sure I turn up the volume on my phone and really pay attention when people are talking, so that echoing effect isn't as much of a problem. But because I wore these earplugs, that problem didn't happen, and I can now swim easily and not have to worry about getting swimmer's ear. So I'll have a link in the show notes to the full post, and then links to the earplugs I bought, as well as this is a basic Google search for swimmer's ear if you want to find out more about that. So there is that. You can find the blog at ycr.blogspot.com. It's basically just an abbreviation for You Can Relax. And there's subscription links, or if you want to get updates via email as well and all of that. So you can subscribe to the post that way and get weekly updates. The current plan is to release the updates have a post every Sunday afternoon or so. But it'll vary if something changes or I need to do an extra post or anything like that. So definitely check it out. I'll thank you in advance for subscribing there. And any feedback on this segment or any other segment can be sent to or via email at headphonesneil@yahoo.com or via Twitter DM at PatelN01. All related links can be found otherwise at PatelN01.com. And of course, you can find this show or any other show on the Geek.io network at geek-io.net. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for listening, and until next time.